Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
As soon as Oregon State figures out what bowl game they're playing in, we're going to get Jonathan Smith on to talk about it. He's out recruiting this week. In the 1 o'clock hour, Ron Callen will be joining us, the radio analyst for Oregon State. He will be joining us to kind of talk about the upcoming bowl game for Oregon State, and kind of what Oregon State needs to do and what problems or holes they need to address here in recruiting and in the offseason. I'll also get his opinion on Pac-12 championship game. Ron Callen coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Josh Furlong is the sports director at KSL in Salt Lake City. Friend of this show. Really good reporter who does a hell of a job on all things Utah State and all things the state of Utah. He's joining us now. I'm assuming you're going to be in Vegas, Josh. How you doing, man?
Good, yeah. I'll be in Vegas. I leave tomorrow night.
Give me an idea of kind of, let's take the temperature in Salt Lake City. People excited, people nervous. What's the feeling as we move towards this championship game?
I think there's a lot of cautious optimism. I think once Oregon sealed the deal that they were going to be in the championship game, I think there was a lot of hand-wringing a little bit. I think just that 2019 championship game is really on their mind, and just knowing that, you know, Utah was supposedly the better team that year. They had everything in line for it. They had, the playoff and everything. So I think there's, love that, your team beat Oregon before, but at the same time, there's always that doubt that, they're going to get us this time. So I think people are excited. I think people are going to, travel down to Vegas, but at the same time, I think if Oregon came away with a win either.
It's interesting because that 38-7 game was, it'll be 13 days between games or whatever, and that kind of sticks in your mind. What do you make of that first meeting between the teams?
I think it was one of those where it was clear that Utah had a game plan and they executed it pretty well. It seemed like Oregon just, I don't want to say they were flat-footed by any means. I just think that Utah executed at a better rate. And they were able to really hit Oregon where it mattered, and they, managed to stop the run, make them a one-dimensional team. And for the most part, that hasn't always been Utah this year. In years past, Utah's been able to take away a run or whatever that may be. So this was kind of one of those games where everything perfect happened. And I think that's partially what, people are fearing is that, Utah hit on all cylinders in that game. What's going to happen in a championship setting? Obviously teams are going to play different. Oregon's not going to probably make the same mistakes that they made, and Utah's going to make some mistakes. And if they don't, obviously they're the better team and they're probably going to win. But I think, I think that gives them some confidence. But it's kind of like what Coach Whittingham said this week, where he's just like, none of that matters. All of that is, in the past, it could have been the first game of the season for all that matters. This game is going to be a completely different beast.
How big is a shot to get to the Rose Bowl for Utah and that university and that football program?
I think it's everything at this point. I think, they've done everything that they've needed to do in the conference. They've pretty much been, I think, in every single bowl game since they've joined. And to get this close so many times, three times in 4 years and then not to get the Rose Bowl, that's tough. And it's, it's the bowl that everybody wants to see, everybody wants to go to. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, there's not really a lot of bowl games out there that have the prestige that the Rose Bowl has, especially now in the college football playoff world. And so just to be able to get there, that's something that's huge for them, just to be able to compete at that national stage, get the grand parade or whatever it may be that you're interested in that bowl game, but just being there. And I think if they don't get it, this is going to be a huge letdown for the team. I think, going into this season, Rose Bowl was obviously the goal, but based on how they started, I think people were just figuring, you know, we'll be happy with the bowl game. But now at this point, I think fans are completely dialed in, and if they don't get the Rose Bowl, I don't know. The Alamo Bowl just doesn't sound fun to a lot of these people from what I've seen.
Yeah, I think Oregon fans probably feel the same way. Josh Furlong is our guest. He's the sports director at KSL in Salt Lake City. Buffalo Bills got to numerous Super Bowls under Marv Levy, but we always think about them as close but no cigar. It's been three appearances in this title game for Kyle Whittingham in 4 years. Kind of feels like he needs a breakthrough. Does he retire if he gets it? I know he's saying he's not, but Josh, how are you reading him?
So early on in the season, kind of the time when Utah was, you know, not doing well, and when they had the tragedy with Aaron Lowe, you know, you could tell that the weight of the world was on his shoulders. You know, coaching had at that point kind of transformed into not really being fun. And I wasn't at all surprised if, you know, there was any speculation or anything coming out there that he would retire. You know, he's always talked about, you know, he doesn't really want to coach past 65. There's a chance that he does. But, you know, he's 62. You know, he's getting close to that age. But I think there's a renewed sense of vigor with him that, you know, even if, let's say, Utah gets to the Rose Bowl and, you know, by chance even wins it, I don't get the sense that that's where he's at right now. I think, you know, he really does love the game right now. Things are going well. His recruiting class, you know, has done well, and he wants to see some of these guys progress to the program. Quite honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he waited until Cam Rising left and kind of saw it out that way. But I don't see him leaving right now, especially in the way the coaching carousel has been this year. You've got several high-profile programs that have obviously, you know, turned over. The only way, in my opinion, that he leaves is if he's already got somebody on the staff that he's willing to do that to. And in the past, that was Morgan Scally. He had that written into his contract. That's since been removed. But I wouldn't at all be surprised if Morgan was the guy that would get it if Kyle would do that. To me, yeah. I don't see Kyle just up and leaving.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, people say those things, but he has also talked about coaching for a couple of few more years. We're talking to Josh Furlong, KSL sports director. What did you see 13 days ago or 12 days ago in that blowout win from Utah that maybe Utah did exceptional in that game? Because I think the Britton Covey punt return, other than that, I just sort of saw Utah, you know, ambush Oregon in a way. Did Utah do anything exceptional in that game that you go, hey, it's going to be difficult for them to duplicate?
I think there's two things. One is take away the run, you know, and obviously limit what Kayvon Thibodeau is able to do. But I think that's an easy one to kind of target because it's pretty easily to see. I think one of the things to me that stood out was just how well Utah executed on third down. I think there were several times where I think they went, 11 of 14 in the game, where it's just like Oregon finally got them on a stop, you know, and in Utah, whether it be, you know, a third and seven or a third and two, Oregon couldn't stop them. And in Utah, it wasn't even like, you know, Oregon was missing tackles or anything. Utah was just the better team on third downs. And given how poor Oregon has been on third downs, I think that's just kind of like where Utah's been exceptional in that respect, right? They found that weakness. They found a way to exploit it. And they just completely, you know, exploited it to that extent. And so I think, you know, that's one of those stats that you don't really ever see much, the third down conversion, fourth down conversion. But I think to me, that was what was the most telling point of that game, because they were able to continually get those drives. They were able to continually push it through. And so that, you know, every single time they went down on the field, it wasn't that case, but pretty much every single time they went down, they were able to score because they kept the drives alive.
What about Oregon scares Utah?
I think there's always that run attack that, you know, they I think a lot of fans, when you talk to them, they still see C.J. Verdell running through their minds, you know, in that championship game. Travis Dye, obviously, is the guy that can do that to them. I don't think he scares them as much. But I think you also have a Kayvon Thibodeau who could really wreak some havoc on that offensive line. So I think those are the two main things where Utah kind of worries, because the times that a team has really found a way to rush against Utah, you know, 200 yards or whatever that is, Utah has had no answer for it. And so I think that's the thing that scares them the most, is because it seems like when that happens.
Talking to Josh Furlong, KSL sports director in Salt Lake City. We got Josh Furlong back. You were getting to the scary part of the movie. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah. So I don't know what plane I got dumped off, but I think I was just saying, you know, if teams can exploit the run on Utah, that's kind of where things kind of go haywire for the Utes. You know, they kind of lose track of, you know, what's going on. It puts them kind of in a where they have to kind of be back on their heels and not really knowing what's going on. And so I think that's the thing that scares Utah fans or even Utah the most, is the fact that if Oregon can find a way to run and you know, do well within the game plan they have, I think that's the biggest factor that really scares Utah.
We watched Oregon State do it to Utah in the second half of their game. And granted, it was a road game, and Oregon State's been very good at home. But what did Oregon State do to Utah that Oregon failed to do to Utah?
You know, that's a good question, because I think, you know, it was just, I don't even know if it was necessarily what Oregon State did. Obviously, they ran and ran and ran and ran, but I think it was a lot of just misassignments on Utah where they kind of, I don't want to say they beat themselves, right? Like, Oregon State beat Utah, so I don't want to, like, put that out there. But I think there was a lot of it where the defense all day just kind of looked like they weren't, you know, together. The offense itself, like, was actually doing really well. It wasn't except until that, you know, blocked punt that was returned for a touchdown where everything kind of really went south. So, I think Utah's found a way to kind of live with some of that run game and kind of not having a defense that we're used to in years past. But I think ultimately it really just came down to that run game and making plays when Oregon State needed to.
All right, give me your pick on Friday. Don't be shy. You know, let's just say, you know, big stakes here on the table. Who are you betting on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think last time when we talked, you know, I was iffy and I said I was going to do a coin flip. I think just based on the results that we saw, I'm just going to stick with Utah by 3. I think it's the safe pick right now, even though Oregon, you know, has won, you know, the last 2 years and they've done what they've done. But I'll give the home team some love this time.
There you go. Going with Utah. Josh Furlong, KSL. I appreciate you, man. I'll see you in the press box.
Thank you. See you this week.
All right. There he is. Man, tomorrow's show is going to be interesting. We'll have Bill Riley, ESPN, the play-by-play voice of Utah Athletics. He'll be on the program. Obviously, we'll talk, you know, we'll really set the stage for this game. Matt Prehm will be with us tomorrow to talk about the Oregon angle. But I want your takeaways from what you just heard from the Utah's perspective. You know, I asked him what scares you when it comes to this game. If you're a Duck fan out there listening, what scares you about Utah when it comes to this game? Or what scares you in general about this game? 503-417-7575. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but Kelly Graves, the Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach, yesterday tweeted out kind of an explanation on why his team is in the locker room while the national anthem is played. I just want to point something out for people who are outraged about this and are viewing it as a political statement. In women's college basketball, they will blow the horn at the 12-minute mark and play the national anthem. 12 minutes on the clock. That clock counts down. It's at 12 minutes. They blow the horn. Often teams are out on the court, which is why the teams will line up and put a hand over the heart and the national anthem gets played. But some of the teams go back into the locker room. I know some of the SEC teams in particular go back into the locker room, and University of Oregon is taken to going into the locker room and using that as an opportunity to kind of regroup and talk about the game, and then they come back out. And there are some people who are upset about it. They've emailed me. They've reached out to the University of Oregon. They're complaining. So I think Graves yesterday had to come out and basically say, here's why we're in the locker room, why the anthem's played. It's being played, and there's 12 minutes to go before the game. We're back in the locker room. I just want to point out, like, college football teams are in the locker room when the national anthem is played. You will very rarely see a college football player on the field when the anthem is played because of the timing. It's the same thing. They get the anthem played, they put the flag out, the band goes on the field. In men's college basketball, the anthem is played at the 0.00 mark of the clock as the clock counts down. So the anthem is played right before the game starts. So the teams are often on the court. Just want to point that out. I think it's kind of sad that he has to make that distinction on social media, but we'll see. It's starting to annoy me that we have to explain everything. But it's not a political stance. It's literally, hey, there's a basketball game to be played. He wants to be in the locker room preparing. Sean is in Sandy. What scares you about this game? What scares you about Utah? What scares you about this Oregon-Utah game on Friday? Sean, what are you scared of?
We don't scare easy, John.
Okay.
And I heard what that guy from Utah said, and after what he said, I'm not scared at all, because he said for Utah, when they beat the Ducks on Saturday, they were firing all eight cylinders. And I don't think that's going to happen twice in a row. And I don't think that's going to happen in Las Vegas.
Okay.
They're going to feel like they're a long ways from Utah when they're down there.
Probably right. I think there's a good chance that Oregon comes out and plays a lot better. But there's still some things that scare me if I'm Oregon about Utah. One, I think Utah's playing for a whole bunch as a team. This is a very emotional season. They've lost two players who have lost their lives. That was an ambush 13 days ago or 12 days ago in Salt Lake City. It scares me that I've already seen Utah boat race Oregon. Zach, Adam, Judah, what scares you if you're Oregon?
You know, John, I feel pretty good going into this game. I think I told you yesterday that the fact that Oregon lost the first matchup in the way that they did makes me actually feel better about this game and kind of the resilience of this team. We saw it against Oregon State. In that one, they responded well after defeat. They didn't give up. But what does, if there's anything that does worry me, I'm thinking about Kyle Whittingham. I'm thinking about those two deaths in the program. I'm thinking about that Pac-12 championship game in which Utah lost to Oregon. The fact that Utah's been so close. They were there against Washington as well, fell short. And it just kind of feels, in a sense, like, all right, this is Kyle Whittingham's chance to really break through, get to the Rose Bowl. If he does he just retire into the sunset? Is this sort of a storybook ending for Kyle Whittingham at Utah? And will the team sort of rally around that?
Yeah,
I think Utah, they're craving for it, man. Oregon's had it. Oregon's been to the Rose Bowl. It's almost a standard for the Ducks. For Utah, if you get to the Rose Bowl, it's a huge deal. Kyle Whittingham deserves it. He deserves the amount he's paid. And this is also a Utah team.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.